It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Past Lives Podcast, episode 255, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Past Lives Podcast is to investigate evidence that demonstrates survival of the human soul. We will look at past life memories, near-death experiences, spirit communication, and other incredible phenomena. And please look out for the Past Lives Podcast episodes called Paranormal Stories, and they are released every Thursday. If you want to hear the extended version of this episode, which is an extra 20 minutes, please join the Patreon campaign. And this week I'm talking to Lisa Barnett about her book, Your Soul Has a Plan, Awaken to Your Life Purpose Through Your Akashic Records. Lisa is an internationally recognized author, teacher, and healer with more than 30 years' experience in the Spiritual Healing Forum. Hi, Lisa. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Simon. I am really pleased to be here with you today.
So I wanted to talk to you about your book. It's called Your Soul Has a Plan, Awaken to Your Life Purpose Through the Akashic Records. It's a fascinating thing, the Akashic Records. And it always brings to mind for me like a huge library. But I suppose where they actually exist, it's something just energetic. It's not like it's a library with tons of books in it.
No, you're right. Although, you know, I actually find for, you know, most of us humans, we like to imagine something that we can kind of wrap our mind around, right? So what the Akashic Records are is an energetic recording of your soul's journey throughout all time, space continuum. So that's not as easy to wrap your mind around is imagining that you are so ancient that you have a whole library all to yourself that is filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of books, which all talk about who and what you've been and done and where you've been and done it. And so most of us in this, you know, earth plane live many hundreds of lives, like 600, 700, 800 lifetimes, which I think for many people is kind of an appalling thought. And I would agree with them because when I first heard that, I thought, that's insane, really? You know, but we come back here to Earth again and again and again because we love it. And we also get ourselves kind of connected into what I would kind of just refer to as karmic patterns. So we really come back to Earth to learn and to grow as a soul because it's the only kind of place or dimension where we have these sorts of experiences and we love it. So we, you know, even though it's a challenging place to live, I think for most of us, we love Earth because it's a place where you, I mean, I don't think that we get these kind of amazing sunsets and yummy foods and right, just the tactileness of being human, of hugging our children or our partners or, you know, our parents. Just there's something so tactile really about this earth plane. And it's one of the reasons that we come here so many hundreds of times.
And so you've got so much amazing information in the book. It's just fascinating. But for you, how did this all start? How did you first start gaining this information?
Well, I found myself very conscious or kind of awake as a relatively young child. And what that means is that, you know, when I was just a little kid, I had the realization that I was not in a body. I mean, that I was in a body and that I could remember not being in a body. So I could remember being an etheric being, right? So I could remember more being energy. And it is kind of interesting because I have to say that many, many of my students that I've trained over the years come to me and they say, you know, when I heard you say that, I resonated so much that I had to learn more about this Akashic work, because there's not all that many people out there that talk about, I knew when I was 4 years old that I was trapped in a body and I wanted to go home. And that was really literally my experience. And so I started to tell my mother I wanted to go back. And my mother told me she didn't have anywhere else to send me. So I was home for now. And that was kind of that. But I literally started studying as soon as I could, you know, read adult books. So when I was 13, 14, 15, I started reading all the esoteric information and work I could get my hands on. And I was lucky to be growing up in California in the late 60s and 70s. And there was all sorts of information coming out. The yoga was just coming to the West, and there was quite a bit of information. People like Baba Ram Dass wrote Be Here Now, right? One of those really early spiritual books that wasn't religious, and it wasn't, you know, it was a little bit more mainstream. So I started studying all of those sorts of things because I knew in my heart that that I was very infinite and that I had come here with a purpose. And then the next project was to figure that out. So I started studying all the way through high school, went to university, studied philosophy at university. So, you know, my path started a very long time ago, over 50 years ago now, when I think back on how long I've really been kind of studying esoteric information.
One of the things you say at the beginning of the book is you remember roaming the galaxies as an etheric soul, easily conversing with two other souls in another dimension. And did you say that those other two souls also incarnated with you when you did?
Yes, yes. So one way of looking at that is that we have a pretty large soul family. And so often before we embody, this is really what this book is about, before we embody, our soul writes a plan. So I think it's really helpful for us to realize that life is not random, that we're not here being punished because we were bad, you know, souls. We really write a plan to learn and grow. And that often includes a lot of challenges, and it includes some of our soul family members. So when I was very young, I could remember that being with these other souls, like in this different dimension, right? We were etheric souls, and we were communicating without having to use words. So when we're not embodied, like in physical form, we're very telepathic. We have other ways of communicating, right? We actually, I believe, send kind of balls of energetic information to each other. So we really understand in all these levels, right? Instead of, so you get the pictures, the feeling, the knowing, maybe the words also. So we can just, you know, like, here's that experience, and I don't have to use all these words to explain it. And it was actually that aspect of needing words that really triggered my awakening at 3 and 4 years old, which was like, I don't have the words to tell you what I want to tell you. And I now remember not having to use all those words. So I now know I am trapped back in a body and I have to use these silly words. So in the end, it turns out that I came to communicate and apparently use some days way too many words.
So there's this thing of before we incarnate, we're a soul. And you could say we're kind of a divine being in a really fantastic state. And so the question is really, why incarnate in the first place? Why would you want to go and mess all that up?
Well, the way I understand it is that, you know, we do that forever. If you think of the fact that you are infinite, that you've been doing this forever, then we get bored or some form of that. And we say, I want to have different experiences. I want to experience life in a more physical form. I want to figure things out and be able to learn and grow from that work of figuring things out. And so the way the Akashic Record Keepers explain it to me is that it's kind of like a big game we're playing with ourselves, right? When you're infinite and you know you're one with Source and you know everything is perfect and divine and we're all whole and complete already, and we're like, let's have a different experience. Let's play a different game, right? It would be like, you know, when you're growing up, one season, maybe you're playing football and another season you're playing basketball and another season, you know, you're swimming or running or, right? We get bored if we did the same thing all the time. And that's actually true for us as infinite souls. And so we want to try new things. And so we have created this reality to have the experiences we are having. And again, one of the things the record keepers say is so important is that we are here to have realizations and soul growth and to eventually awaken to the truth of who we are again as these infinite souls, as these wide souls, as these beings of really pure love. And when more of the world, more people on the planet wake up to the truth that you are not separate, that we are all always one, no matter what it looks like down here, we can start to shift the energy and I believe awaken as a collective, as all of humanity. And then we will truly be able to transform our world into a beautiful, peaceful world. And that is really kind of the point of this game we've been playing for thousands and thousands of years, is to awaken as a collective.
And you talk about how the record keepers give you this information. So how does it come to you? Is it mediumship? Is it trance? What happens?
Yeah, so great question. I many, many, many years ago now, I started a school. And actually, the Akashic Record Keepers, they're pure beings of light. So I'll kind of go back as to who the record keepers are and who I talk to. They're beings of pure light. They are souls who have individuated from Source, but who have not gone on a journey. So the record keepers have never been human. They are not ascended masters. They are not angels. You know, they're really nothing else that we ever think of as some of the other guides on the other side. And they have chosen to be of service to other souls by keeping their Akashic record, living in this field that we call the Akasha, and really being guides for us. So each person has their own soul library and their own group of Akashic record keepers. And so many years ago, they said to me, will you help us bring the Akashic records back to humanity? And of course, I've had these very long conversations with them. And at that point, I said kind of, well, Sure, I'm kind of busy. I have three toddlers right now. So, you know, why are you asking me? I mean, I don't think you've got the right person. I'm busy with all these babies. I said, you know, why me? Right? I'm a little stubborn. And I didn't want to just go, you know, running after some weird egoic trip that my ego was messing with me. And so I said, you know, yeah, kind of prove it to me. Why would you ask me? And they said, because you were one of us. And I thought, okay, that sounds a little crazy. So tell me more. And the story that they told me was that when we individuate from source, we start our journey and many souls go off just romping around the galaxies. And some souls, a few of us, go, you know, wandering into the information arm of source, which we call the Akasha, which is where the Akashic libraries are stored. And we choose to learn and grow as we're there and studying. And we choose to sometimes stay and help other souls on their journey that way. So everyone has their own Akashic record keepers. And when they asked me to start a school and they told me why, I said, you know, okay, sure. But, you know, I don't know how to do this right now. I'm human. I'm a mom in the suburbs with a bunch of babies. So you're going to have to help me out here. And they said, we will give you everything you need. We will give you a simple Akashic record system, which I now call the Akashic five-step wisdom prayer system. So there are simple access prayers, which act as vibrational keys to move you energetically and consciously into your own Akashic library, where you can then speak to your Akashic record keepers and ask questions that you would, you know, like answers to. So I have taught thousands and thousands of people around the world, because I do this online, so that people can really have this access to their own personal Akashic records, because the record keepers say it is everyone's birthright to have access to the information about your soul, your journey, your purposes, who you've been and what you've done throughout time. All this information, they're saying, this is your birthright to have access to this information. And so that's what I do. I teach people to do it for themselves. And of course, I also do Akashic record readings and healing sessions for people who would like some answers to questions, but don't really want to go through the process of learning how to do it for themselves.
And so you say that we all have our very own Akashic record keepers. Does that mean that there's one Akashic record keeper for each person and that's it? They don't work for other people. They're just with you as Lisa or as Simon. Or does that mean they're just with your soul and your soul has tons of lives that they look after?
Oh, great question. Good way to put it. So you have about a dozen or so record keepers, right? If you imagine that you're a very ancient soul and you have thousands and thousands and thousands of lives, it takes a couple of record keepers, you know, quite a few, maybe a dozen or so, to keep that library for you. Now, there's more than one librarian in the library, right? And they are records of your whole soul's journey through all time. So all past lives here on Earth, all lives in other places, planes, and dimensions, which can include other lives on planets where you might think, oh, I was extraterrestrial then, right? You lived on the dog star Sirius and you were a Sirian there. You were a Pleiadian in some lives. You were from Lyra and were a Lyran in other lifetimes. And so we have, you know, I don't even think we can put a number on it, because it would probably be millions and millions of lives. When you start to look at all the planes and dimensions, again, for us here in the earth plane, most of us have had 600, 800 lives. The record keepers tell me I've had 1,000 lives here on earth alone, because I love to come back and assist humanity. I wasn't really sure if it was because I was just totally an idiot and it took me that long to work through karmic patterns. But they were like, no, no, you like to come and help also. And so I was like, oh, yay. That's always nice to know.
It's part of your plan then. With the Akashic Record Keepers, they work with your soul guides because they're not your soul guides, are they? I suppose if your soul guide needs to know something about you, they go to the library?
Yeah, so I think it's, here's the question, Simon, is, you know, we use so many different kinds of words because every human has about a half a dozen guardian angels. Most humans also have one or two kind of other soul guides that have often been human or we know from other dimensions or realms. And then on top of that, we have a group of record keepers who only work in the Akashic field and who have never been human and who are not angels. So I guess it kind of depends on how we see or name these things, right? And different people name them a little bit differently. As I say that, just because I want to kind of be clear, Simon, when you think of a soul guide, how does that seem more to you?
I get the impression that perhaps we have one or two soul guides who are with us through our whole life. And then other soul guides may come in at different points because they're specialists in something that you might be doing or might be happening to you.
Right. And so the way the record keepers are explaining it to me, because they're always kind of talking in like the back of my mind, and they're saying those are often souls that we know from other times, planes, dimensions, like, you know, it might be a lifetime. It might be even sometimes it's a life in the future, right? Because there is no real time and space. Though we have so many guides, I mean, we really truly are blessed if we can start to contact them because they're really here to support us. So soul guides definitely are a little different than your record keepers. For many people, and this is another thing the record keepers explained to me when I said, you know, kind of what is the difference between this and that? And they said, most people over the last few thousand years over the last few hundred years have not been accessing the Akashic records because the vibration of the Akasha was pulled away from Earth because during the Dark Ages, people were misusing the information they could get through the Akashic records. So that makes sense. So the records have been hard to access since the Dark Ages, which was around 1000 AD. So just, you know, about 1200 years ago. So that was part of the thing. They were like, it's time to bring the energy back. It's time to anchor this vibration back on the planet so that people can really access it again and have this information about who they've been and what they've done. So yes, we have these different variety of soul guides that are there. We have our guardian angels who are here supporting us, and we have our own Akashic Record Keepers who are much easier to access now than, you know, since the Dark Ages. So we're really, it's a beautiful thing that we really have this ability to receive these levels of guidance. And I would say, yes, when we look at it, is that in that sort of way or hierarchy that sometimes our guides will connect with our record keepers to have more information to support us, because our soul guides have been easier to access. Our guardian angels have been easier to access because the records were so kind of far away from the planet. But now, you know, now they are much more connected. I've been working on it for the last 30 years and many other people have been doing the same. And so I really see the Akash being anchored back to Earth. So it's easier and easier for people to start to access. And that's truly why I'm so excited about teaching this work out into the world and doing online classes so that people can find it and access it without having to travel anymore, right?
Hello, listeners. This is Simon. Now, some of you know I have a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy, and I'm certified in past life regression therapy. And in the past few weeks, I've taken many clients through some amazing and healing past life regressions. And I conduct sessions over Zoom, and I've had clients from many countries around the world. Now, when you go through a past life regression, you will feel totally in control and remember everything. And also, I record the whole session and send you an MP3 afterwards. And this gives you space to relax and go with the flow, knowing that you can listen back later and analyze what you experienced if you need to. So if you ever wanted to explore your past lives in a single session or have an issue you want to work on, you can go to my website at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk and book a free 20-minute consultation. And at the moment, I'm offering a 25% discount to everyone that has signed up to the Patreon campaign. The link is in the show notes. So there's in the Akashic Records, there's a book of my life. How is the book written? I don't imagine there's one of the record keepers sitting there with a typewriter following my life. How does it come together?
I love that. That's a great image. Well, you know, to me, the way I really see it is like a library with thousands and thousands of books, right? Each book representing a lifetime. But it would be a little bit more like, I love the analogy of if you had like a GoPro video camera strapped to your head every day, and at the end of the day, you uploaded it to the cloud. And then, you know, maybe 10 years from now, you'll be like, oh, hey, I want to see what I was doing back when I was, you know, 40. And so you download some of those videos from your 40th year. Maybe you download your birthday party. Maybe you download some, you know, challenge or traumatic day. You kind of look at what you were doing and what you learned from those challenges. And then you go, oh gosh, I remember that. That's right. That was some important wisdom I got. I really learned to be more compassionate for other people and for myself. And so that information is just energetically uploaded into the Akashic field because it is part of source energy. And when we start to look at it in that way, we are connected always to that. And those systems are set in place and we don't have to do anything. No one has to sit there at a typewriter, right? Because in those other realms, we're not physical.
And so do they list all of our lives that we're going to live, wherever they are? Because in some respects, time doesn't exist, does it? So is it all there right now?
You know, they say yes. And I know as a human, I have a challenge, even after all these years of working in this energetic field. You know, I don't know that our brains are really made to understand that in a deep level. But they say, yes, it is there. And one of the other things that's kind of fascinating and important to know is that nothing is written in stone. Right? So we come here to especially this earth plane to learn and grow. And that includes changing our mind, learning and changing our trajectory, changing our path because we've understood something we didn't understand yesterday. And now we can see the world in a different way. So that means we can actually make a new choice, change our mind, do something different. And that's especially why we love these planets, because we get to play in the realm of free will and choice. And we get to rewrite those books. We get to rewrite some of those pages, some of those soul contracts, some of those things that we thought when we were making our plan, maybe that we would be doing for a full lifetime. But halfway through our life, we all of a sudden, we get it, right? We understand it. We wake up and we're like, oh my gosh, I see where I've been so stuck. I see where I have been, you know, stuck in a place of self-doubt, and I haven't been able to move forward and create something more fun or more joyful or more abundant in my life. Because I've been stuck in this idea that I'm nothing, I'm no good, because, you know, my father used to say I'd never amount to anything. And I believed him. But we realize at some point, hopefully, that that is not the truth. That might have been your father's truth or view of you or view of himself that he was projecting on you. And as we start to raise our vibration and raise our consciousness and our awareness, we then can be like, hey, that's not my truth. That was Dad's story. I am an amazing person. I have phenomenal gifts. I can make a new choice. I can start that business. I'm going to do all of these things I've always wanted to do, because I now can see, feel, and understand that I am worthy, that I am capable and able and much wiser than I ever imagined. And so we change literally the trajectory of our life when we have these sorts of awakenings or awarenesses. And, you know, these are the huge gifts that we can get from things like learning to access our Akashic records, or having an Akashic record reading, or doing a deep hypnotherapy session with someone like you, Simon.
So many of us, or most of us, don't remember what our plan is, what our life plan is. And is that how it's supposed to work? I mean, if we knew our plan, wouldn't that affect the learning and perhaps mess it up?
Yep. Yes, it would. Exactly. So, you know, we've set this whole world up to write a plan, because we really get excited about coming to Earth. It's a big deal. Not everybody gets to come here all the time, you know. And so we look forward to it. We write the plan. There's people we want to support. There's people we want to learn from. There's people we want to help to learn and grow also. We have all these soul contracts with other people. We have gifts and talents that you have honed over hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes here on Earth. And of course, thousands of lifetimes in other dimensions. And so we make a plan, and then we come here and have total amnesia, or most of us have total amnesia. And it's part of the game. Really, if we can look at life on Earth more as a game that is helpful, I think, for most of us in kind of understanding that this is certainly not a punishment. You're not sent here to be punished and to live this nasty karmic life. We choose to come here to work our way through the game, to figure out how we can get through the maze the quickest as we can, right? To remember the truth of who we are as wise souls really quickly. And this is why, you know, I teach my students to access the Akashic records, because then you can actually access this information that your soul wrote as a plan. So we come and have amnesia, but that doesn't mean we don't have any way to remember, because we do. And that is accessing your Akashic records. And that's literally why the record keepers asked me to start a school and teach people to do this and do readings and healings for them. And that was actually one of the their requests when they asked me to start a school. They said, you know, there's some people teaching about the Akashic records out there, but no one is teaching the students how to heal themselves, how to move into the quantum field outside of time and space and literally heal, clear, release old soul contracts that are complete, clear karmic patterns that are ready to be released, clear the blocks that slow us down or sometimes bring us to a dead stop as a human. They said, please teach your students how to heal themselves. And so that is a big aspect of the teaching that I teach in the Akashic Record, is how to not only to heal yourself, to see where you've been blocked, to release the traumatic patterns, the fears, the beliefs that we've held in other lifetimes, because that can build up and can continue to hold us back. And when we can go into the Akashic Record, which is, as I've said, part of Source, it is also part of the quantum field. And because there is no time space in the quantum, it is much easier to be able to move into that void, pull out the lives that are ready to be healed, literally to do some healing on them, pop them back in to their place. But now they don't have the fear or the physical pain or the emotional pain, right? From that lifetime where you were burned at the stake, or you were, you know, killed for speaking your truth, or you had to hide in a cave so you didn't get killed, right? All of those kinds of lifetimes have given us a lot of, you know, patterns of persecution and fear and vows of staying hidden so that we can survive. And so we write soul contracts and with other people, and we make vows, you know, to not be seen. We take vows of poverty sometimes in religious lives. We vow never to do that again because it got us hurt or killed. And so we can literally go into the Akashic Library and see and understand, witness and heal, clear, rewrite many of the pages or chapters or books, so that those lifetimes no longer hold you down, hold you back from creating what you came to be in this lifetime.
And with these contracts, you make them with its members of, is it your, would you call it your soul group? And people who, or people, sorry, souls who are outside of your soul group. But, you know, we talk about contracts. It sounds like you've got to sit in an office with some lawyers, but how would you say it works?
Right. Well, you know, a little bit like that. So I always get kind of a funny image. Like when we're etheric souls, I believe that we still live in realms with other souls, that we live in places that maybe even have buildings or areas, like where you would say, okay, I'm maybe going back to Earth school and figuring out what I screwed up in that last lifetime. What did I learn? What did I not learn? What is worth going back to finish? What, you know, what is complete? And so I believe there's some kind of form enough of linearness that we would say, this is what I learned. This is what I didn't learn. We gather with other souls and say, you know, as I'm going back, who else is coming back? Who wants to support me in this life? Right. And a couple of souls will raise their hands and they'll say, you know, yeah, hey, you know, we've been married a few times and that was great. We had great support contracts with each other. Do you want to do that again? And I may say, you know, not this life. I really want to learn about some other kind of challenge. Maybe in this life, I will, I want someone who's willing to active pattern so that I can help them with that and learn about that. And then maybe I'll bring some of my gifts of wisdom and I'll become a therapist and I'll teach people and I'll help other people understand and learn and grow around addiction and addictive patterns in different ways. And so all these souls are saying, hey, I could do that with you. You know, what about me? And we're picking our parents and we're picking our significant others, which, you know, maybe spouses or maybe not. We even make bigger plans. Some people say, you know, I'm going back. There's many, many souls on the planet right now working on a very large collective group contract around balancing male and female energy on Earth. And so kind of an interesting big thought, but we do it in many different ways. So one person may say, I'm going to go back and I'm going to have a really beautiful, balanced marriage. You know, I'm going to be a woman in this life, you know, who wants to be my husband and be supportive and kind and emotional and loving and compassionate, who wants to be that kind of balanced male, and I will be the balanced female. So one couple may choose to do that. And another couple who's coming back working on this balanced contract also says, I'm going to be the extreme, crazy, wild, emotional drama queen. And I want, you know, a partner to show up who's going to be the opposite kind of angry, aggressive, masculine energy. And we are going to work on bringing it back into balance so that one couple's already coming in balanced and maybe raising children and teaching that. Maybe they become teachers and teach that energetically out in the world. And the couple who's like, I'm going to be kind of the crazy, you know, imbalanced person. I'm going to try and figure it out and come to balance. And they may or may not manage to make that happen, right? Because again, we write the plan. We say, this is what I want to go do. And then we forget. And so the drama queen may or may not wake up and be like, oh, you know, I don't have to make everything into a big drama. I don't have to bring trauma into everyone's life. I can, maybe they go to the therapist who's already balanced, or they start to meditate, or, right? We choose to figure these things out in so many different ways. And often, to your question, Simon, often we're doing it with people who have been from our original soul family. And sometimes we do it with people that we've had other lifetimes, and sometimes we've created other kind of karmic patterns or bonds that we want to work through with them. And so it's not either or. So not everyone in your life is from your soul family. Probably a couple people are, but many of them are people maybe you've known in other lifetimes, and or who are on a similar path as you and want to learn some of the same lessons that you want to learn. So you say, hey, I'll do that with you. You want to play that game with me, you know? And so we choose all sorts of souls who are also coming back at the same time and have some of the same things that they want to work on also. And it can be the biggest challenges, right? So rebalancing masculine and feminine energy, the record keepers say we're doing it. Everyone has a masculine channel and a feminine channel in your body. So some people are innately more balanced. Some people are really, you know, born very imbalanced. And it's often partly because of your soul plan. And sometimes there's parts of that is the family we've chosen to be born into. So if I wanted to be born as, say, let's go imbalance, like the example I was giving, a drama queen, maybe I would be born to a mother who was already a drama queen and a whole family of drama queens, right? So I could learn that really quickly, and then I could unlearn it. Is that all kind of making sense? So yeah. We're picking all sorts of different souls to work these things through with.
So I suppose you could be a drama queen in a family, and that's just the opposite personality of everybody else. And that would be a lesson. Well, you being a drama queen would drive everybody else crazy.
Right. Absolutely. And you may be the drama queen who gets on her high horse and stomps out of the family, never to be seen again. Or you may be like, maybe there's another way to do this. Maybe I can go inwards. Maybe I can work with a hypnotherapist or a therapist or get an Akashic reading from Lisa. Or maybe I can do all of the above and start to figure out how can I process my emotions in a different sort of way that maybe is more comfortable for me and my soul growth and my consciousness, and will make it possible for me to live a happier life instead of a traumatic sort of life.
Does this mean that some people you'll have a contract with someone and it'll be for them to be particularly mean to you? You agree with them that I need to learn certain lesson of suffering. And so somebody else will say, okay, I take the job. I'll inflict this on you.
Yeah. Yes, we absolutely, as kind of crazy as it sounds, I've got to say, we do make that sort of plan. We say, you know, so again, if you go, I've lived 500 lifetimes already, and I've not always been in, we all do it all, right? And so we have, you know, we have been warriors and murderers, and we've been robbers, and we've been priests and monks and nuns and queens and kings and peasants, and we've starved to death, and we've been just as rich can be. And so we play this game in every way, on every level, to have every experience. And so there are lifetimes when we come back, and again, there are a lot of people right now on the planet who are having this sort of experience where they're saying, there's another very big soul contract that many, many people are working on, and it's around ending abuse in our world. And so someone may say, you know, I'm going to come back and I'm going to choose to be born into an abusive family so that I could come to understand what that means. I can heal it for myself, and then I can help other people heal it for themselves. And so there are thousands and thousands, probably millions of light workers on the planet who have said, I will be born into an abusive family so that I can learn to be compassion and forgiveness and share the wisdom that I've learned with humanity. And really, very importantly, end that abuse pattern from the ancestral lineage. Because I would venture to say that much of abuse is passed down through the family, right? We learn it from our parents or grandparents or someone in the family, and we pass it down unconsciously through our own anger, through our own victimhood, to our own children or spouses or other people in our family. And so there is a huge soul contract where light workers are stepping into the abusive family, and they are saying, the buck stops here. I will not pass this on to my spouse or my children. And so they are moving into that place of forgiveness and compassion, and then having loving, supportive, compassionate relationships with their families that they are creating. And so it's very important and very powerful, and absolutely probably one of the most difficult group contracts that anyone could plan, because living through that abuse and that trauma, really living in that energy every single day, I would say creates PTSD for most of the adults. Adult survivor of abuse have post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so working through all of that is a huge pattern. But I believe that we are ending the pattern of, you know, physical, emotional, sexual abuse by doing it that way.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. People view reincarnation as a soul incarnating one life after another, so always moving forward in time. But is it possible you could finish a life and look and think, right, I need to learn this lesson, And the best place and time to learn it is 2,000 years ago in Greece. So could you like die in 2020 and then be reincarnated 2,000 years ago?
You know, great question. Because when I go into the quantum field, right, when I teach my students to go into this quantum field and look at these past lives, we have those past lives already happening and continue to be happening. So I would have to say, yes, you could go pop back into a lifetime because it's still always happening. Right. And one of the great gifts of learning to access your own Akashic records is that you can go and right here and right now, go and look at that life in ancient Greece and say, what were the lessons I'm learning? What can I take into this life in 2000? Never, you know, in what can I take into to 2023? What can I know now that I actually learned back in Greece 2000 years ago? And so one of the phenomenal aspects of accessing your Akashic records is that you literally can go into that life and either clear what may have blocked you from that lifetime, if it was a traumatic lifetime, or reclaim some of that wisdom and gifts and talents you had back in ancient Greece and bring them into this body now. So to me, that is a phenomenal gift. So when I have students who come to me and they say, you know, I'd like to start a spiritual business, show me the lifetimes in which I was a teacher in the ancient mystery schools, when I was a priest or priestess in ancient Greece or in ancient Egypt or in ancient Persia. We do these things again and again in all these different lives and places. Help me, you know, teach me how to reclaim this. This is what I teach my students. How do I reclaim those gifts and talents and bring them energetically more present into our physical body in this time-space continuum? And so I think it's important, you know, I'm not a big fan of misleading people and telling them that, you know, this is a magic bullet, that all you have to do is learn to go into the quantum field and you will know everything you ever knew. But we can, and we do on a level. And so we can reclaim a lot of this wisdom and a lot of the kind of the knowingness and the energetic gifts and talents, which we then have to really activate. And sometimes we do that through learning again in this body, and activate them in this body so that we can really access them with ease. And when the record keepers asked me back in, I think back in 2012, they said, we'd love to have you write a book about the Akashic records. And again, I'm like, I'm kind of busy here with all these little kids. You know, how am I going to do that? I can't even spell. Right. I had a bit of an issue. I mean, I'd gone to college, but I was in art school. I was like, I am not the greatest writer. And so they said, well, let's go back and look at all these lifetimes where you wrote with ease, where you were a published author, where you were a scribe in ancient Alexandria. Let's reclaim and bring that energy into your body now. And so I did that quite a few times over the 6 months and process of me writing my first book. And it helped tremendously, really just energetically going into the Akashic records and seeing myself as a scribe in ancient Alexandria, seeing myself as a published author back in the, you know, 1600s, knowing that I had written great treatises? Anyway, yeah. Too many S's. And, you know, that I had been that. So often part of being able to see, feel, know when we access the records really helps us with that validation that, you know, I can do this. I've totally got this. I've done it five other lifetimes. I am now good to go, now that I really realize that. And so that to me in its own right is one of the huge pieces that we get from accessing our own Akashic records. So that was my first book. I now have three books out. Your Soul Has a Plan is the third book. And hopefully we'll have a fourth by the end of this year and a fifth next year. So all, you know, working in the Akashic records has completely shifted that, that thinking for me, Lisa, in this lifetime here and now.
And I think you said you get a lot of people contacting you about their relationships in life. And you say the record keepers, they say that we may write 6 to 12 contracts with people to have significant partnerships. But most of us don't have 6 or 12 significant partnerships in our life.
Right. So I love that question because I think it's really important that people realize that we have done this hundreds of times, right? So we get the fact that if you wrote one contract to have one soulmate, the likelihood of finding that one person out of 7 billion gets to be pretty darn slim. And so we know, especially now, right, we're not just being born and living a whole life in a tiny village where of course we'll run into that person. Most of us are living a pretty global life now. And so we hedge our bets, literally, by writing a half a dozen or a dozen soul contracts for significant partners. Now, one of the interesting thing about that contract, those, you know, say dozen contracts, is that some of them may be to learn and grow from that partnership and then to have a child and get divorced, or to learn and grow and just separate. You know, get divorced if you ever got married. The significant partnership doesn't mean that you have to be married. I think I had two or three engagements before I married my husband, who I have been married to for 32 years now, right? I almost made a couple of oopses, but luckily, after a bit of time, I was like, no, I'm already learning what I was going to learn from that person. And so I'm good. Those were the contracts where there was the growth attached, which often we call karma. So I say we write soul contracts with karma attached, which means I want to learn from that person. There's some soul growth, there's some learning, there's some lessons that we're going to work out together. And once I've got it, then, you know, we can both go on our own way. We've got the growth. And so sometimes we marry them, sometimes they're, you know, short marriages, sometimes they're long marriages. But once the growth is complete, then it's complete and we can leave and we do not have to be committed, you know, for the rest of our life to that same person. So not every relationship is meant to be forever.
So there's some really great exercises in the book, and people can read the book and work through the exercises. Do you have any advice on how they should approach this?
You know, I think the way it really came through was relatively linearly, because each chapter talks about kind of a different aspect of the soul plan and relationships and karma and, you know, different aspects. And so each chapter has, as you say, a reflection. There's some kind of guided visualization, some questions you can ask, and some Akashic healing prayers that I have channeled from the record keepers. And so just reading through the record keeper's suggestion is take time to do the exercises for reflection, to have a journal and write down some notes and how you resonate with what you've been reading. And then the prayers, like I say, I channeled from the Akashic Record Keeper. They're really there for you to You know, I love to read them three times in a row. I always feel that threes kind of take us a little deeper. So I would read, say, the Prayer of Remembrance three times, kind of quietly and just slowly, just feeling into it and bringing that energy into the body and receiving the healing vibration from the Akasha that is in these healing prayers that I channeled from the Akashic Record Keepers. And so, and you may want to read them every day for a week or a month. So some of the healing prayers will resonate. Some of the chapters information will be huge aha, you know, moments for you. And so those prayers you may particularly want to go back and read every day or, you know, a couple of times over the next week or two. So let your heart and your soul guide you in how to use the information.
It's fantastic. So we've been talking about your book, which is called Your Soul Has a Plan, Awaken to Your Life Purpose Through Your Akashic Records. And people can get that and your other books on Amazon, can't they?
Absolutely. You will find it on Amazon. You will also find them on my website at akashicknowing.com, right there on the homepage. If you scroll down a little, you'll see all three of the books and that will and, you know, links to go directly to that page on Amazon. So kind of easy to find. But of course, Lisa Barnett, if you Google that in Amazon or Amazon that in Amazon. So they are definitely available that way.
OK, it's been great talking to you and I'll put the links in the show notes. And thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate you and all the work you do to share our wisdom out in the world.
Thank you.
So much love. Thank you.
And that was an interview with Lisa Barnett about her book, Your Soul Has a Plan, Awaken to Your Life Purpose Through Your Akashic Records. And if you want to hear the rest of this fascinating interview, you can sign up to Patreon. When you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And the Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And please check out my other podcast. It's called the Alien UFO Podcast, and I release new episodes every Monday, and you can find it on almost every podcast app. And I've also added a new tier to the Past Lives Podcast Patreon campaign, where for $12.50 a month, you can get the Alien UFO Podcast extended episodes every week, as well as the Past Lives Podcast extended episodes. And including the Alien UFO Podcast episodes, there are now more than 100 extended episodes available in the back catalogue. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk and the links are in the show notes. And look out for the Past Lives Podcast episodes called Paranormal Stories and they're released every Thursday. And there is a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group. If you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review. And be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening. It would be great if you could go to the record keepers and they just give you a list of all the people you have contracts with for the significant partnership.
Yeah, that would be kind of handy, but pretty weird, really. Yeah. It would be like, here, I have this list. I'm going to check it off. And so someone randomly calls you, Simon.